Welcome to Ask BBB, featuring information from and about BBB accredited businesses so you're better informed about goods and services that you're purchasing. I'm Jim Swan. Your host is the CEO of BBB serving Western Ontario, Jennifer Matthews.
Well, this morning is the final program of the year 2022, and as well, this will be the final program in our series.
Yeah, you know, Jennifer, we've talked to a lot of business owners and learned a lot of things that help with purchases, and we'll look back on some of that on the bulletin board later this morning. As well, New Year's Eve, besides a time to celebrate a time when a lot of people set new goals as they make resolutions, and Jennifer Slay and Claire McKillop, life coach and motivational speakers, will join us later in the program, metaphorically shifting gears, if you like. But our first guest helps us do that literally.
Yes, Jim Wilson is the owner-operator of Wilson Transmission, and Jim is here along with John Millman, one of the technicians at Wilson Transmission. Welcome to you both this morning.
Welcome. Good morning.
So how do we know our transmission might need some attention?
It would start to act up, like do funny things like kind of rev out on a shift or not go into gear properly, make noises, or a check engine light may come on your in the vehicle, indicating that there's a problem.
Can all transmissions then be repaired, or are there some brands that are more prone to problems?
90% of them can be repaired. Some brands are more prone to problems. Generally, most of them can be repaired or rebuilt, or they can make the vehicle operable somehow or another.
Jim, there was a time when transmissions were purely mechanical, but today they are electronically controlled. How has that changed what you do?
I'm going to let Johnny answer that one because he's more technical than I am.
They've become more, they're more electronically controlled now. It's very similar still in the fact that the transmission drives the vehicle, but the engine drives the transmission. So even with all the electronics that are in transmissions nowadays, the engine still has to be working properly to drive the transmission. Now, as for the electronic controlled transmissions, a lot of the diagnosis is different now. As years ago, you could do circuit tests on for shift solenoids and that, and a lot of vehicles nowadays the solenoid is controlled by the TCM like it was back in the old days. When I say TCM, I mean transmission control module. But what they're doing nowadays is actually moving the transmission control module into the transmission itself, so you no longer can do a pin test for that particular solenoid. So there's different testing procedures that need to be done.
Does your shop do any other vehicle repair beyond transmissions?
We're mostly tied up with transmissions because we're running weeks behind trying to get parts and stuff. But if a vehicle is on the hoist and it needs brakes and we have the transmission torn apart, we would offer to do those or recommend that the customer get them done by their local garage. The same with tie rod ends and ball joints, some exhaust stuff like that. Well, we may do it for them or recommend that they get it back to their mechanic that has sent them to us. Because of our relationship with so many garages out there, we try not to take their work away from them because we are so busy with the transmission trade.
Jim, besides your mechanical aptitude, you have developed a business acumen. You dealt with a franchise operation and are now an independent operator. What advice do you have for budding entrepreneurs, or for that matter, business operators who are looking at expansion?
The biggest thing I would say is get involved with the community. Get involved with the Better Business Bureau, with the business clubs in London, charity operations. Any organization that you can be involved with will expand your business.
And what do you think the best piece of advice that you received as you were starting your entrepreneurial journey was?
I was given an opportunity that just kind of fell into my lap, and I was very fortunate that that happened. The advice he gave me was work hard, you know, be there every day, Monday to Friday, Saturdays if possible, which we did in the beginning. He just said, treat the customer the best possible way you can and fix their problem. And that was his advice to me.
Well, Jim and John, thank you so much for joining us this morning and sharing your knowledge and expertise on how we can keep our car running.
Well, thank you. Thanks for allowing us to be here and get involved.
Jim Wilson is the owner and John Miltman is a technician at Wilson Transmission, a BBB accredited business with an A+ rating. Find them in the BBB.org directory.
In a moment, we'll get some help setting goals for the new year.
Welcome back to Ask BBB. I'm Jim Swan here with CEO of BBB serving Western Ontario, Jennifer Matthews.
It is the tradition as the new year begins to set resolutions. Claire McKillop and Jennifer Slay of Jennifer Slay Counseling and Coaching are our guests this morning and give us some ideas and guidance for goal setting. Good morning, Claire. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
What would be the first step in effective goal setting?
Not making a list of 100 things that you want to do. Because I think that's the problem, that we have these lofty goals at the beginning of the year. This year, I'm going to do this. But research has shown that if we set 1 to 3 goals, we're likely to accomplish them with excellence as opposed to 5 or 10.
And in your experience as counselors, what are the most common things people seek to improve as we start a new year?
I would say negative self-talk would be definitely something, right? Getting kinder to yourself, the way that you speak to yourself. Showing yourself that self-love. But in the new year, what do you think, Jen?
Well, it's so self-love, yes. Confidence. I want to increase my confidence this year. And then weight loss is a big one. I want to get fit.
And what role does fear then play in helping us achieve some of those goals, the fear of being unhealthy or you know?
You know, it really depends on your mindset. Some people allow fears to totally stop them and they don't move forward, whereas other people allow that fear to drive them. So it really depends on the individual and how big that fear is in their life.
Yeah, when I think of fear in the course that we teach, Slayer and our critic, it's false evidence appearing real, right? So separating what's fact and what's fiction, you know, what am I really scared of that's gonna happen and what's actually really gonna happen, right? So getting people used to thinking outside the box on that and the limitations that you create in your own mindset, right?
And does that also, would you also talk to someone then about that fear of the worst case scenario happening, but learning how the best case scenario could also happen just as well?
Yeah, I do that all the time. I ask, okay, so you have this fear, what's the worst thing that could possibly happen? And then the question I ask is, okay, so if it happened, then what? And it's usually silence, like, well, I wouldn't like it. Okay, but then what? Like, what's going to happen if it actually does? And so it allows us to then work backwards, because usually the worst case isn't what's going to happen. The best case might not, but somewhere in the middle.
Does that fear sometimes keep people from even making a resolution or starting something?
It can, but by the time someone is contacting us, it means that they're willing to kind of push forward a little bit. They don't want to allow the fear to stop.
Jennifer, how common is it that people who are secure in their job have a stable home life, but still feel unfulfilled?
Oh my goodness. So common. So common. But part of the reason for that is just the level of engagement you have with your work. There are so many people working in jobs that they just hate, they don't like, or the people they're around are somewhat toxic. And so it's kind of a dread. It's like, oh, here we go again, right? And they're not enjoying. And the thing is, we spend so much time in our work. So we really need to enjoy that.
And how would you then coach people with that mindset?
Sometimes for some people, their job is like the only source of income in the home. And to say, well, I'm going to quit, just isn't realistic. So you have to, we look at what is good about the job. And then we also look at what can you do outside of the job to fulfill you, that fills your cup, that can drive you and energize you. Claire, I know Claire does a lot of counseling as she serves. And so she probably hears about this all the time.
100%. Yeah. And on the weekends, I'm a server, a bartender at a local restaurant. And I honestly, I do that job just because I love it. I find so much joy in it. I built such a community. That's why I stay. That's why I go there one day a week. But I would definitely say bringing that self-awareness to people to see why they don't like their job. You know, why aren't they happy there? Is there other areas of your life that are affecting your unhappiness at work, right? Because who knows, it could be something not having to do with work, but another need that's not being fulfilled at home, right? So looking at the whole person and getting a visual of their life and saying, okay, where do we start?
The blogs on your website provoke thought and provide inspiration. Make Your Journey Count started with a quote from Emerson that it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. What do you and your team do to help people focus on that journey?
We do a lot of mindfulness stuff, and we are one of our biggest things, no matter what program we're running, is that self-awareness piece. You really need to become self-aware. In my counseling sessions, I'll equate it to going into a dark room. I'll give you some darts and go into that room that's really dark. There's no light, and hit the bullseye. And it's like, well, I wouldn't be able to. It's dark. It's like, exactly. But if you turn on the light and you have awareness, you're more likely to hit that mark. So we need to become aware, because that awareness will allow us to then be able to effectively plan.
One of the workshops that you offer is a diversity and excellence workshop. What are some of the exercises and challenges this workshop presents for teams and organizations?
Well, what I find with diversity, equity, inclusion, those buzzwords these days, people want to have conversations, but they're scared to have conversations because they don't want to be perceived to be racist, or they don't want to be perceived to be discriminatory in any way, any of those negative type words. And so what we do, we ensure that people can have those conversations in what we call a safer space, meaning that we're going to respect what people say, and we're not going to make any judgments, and we're just going to talk.
If someone is listening this morning and wants to learn more about your services, either as an individual or for a company or organization, what would the first steps be in that?
Go to the website, right? And just check out the different things that we offer. There's actually two websites. So there's Jennifer Slay Counseling and Coaching, but there's also a website called Manifesting Excellence. And on that website, you will see a number of different coaching programs and our flagship program, which is Slay Your Inner Critic, which Claire also facilitates and teaches as well.
Claire, are you able to just speak to a little bit of that Slay Your Inner Critic? What would we expect coming into it?
Yeah, of course. So I did the program myself as well before I began being a facilitator for it. And it's an 8-week course, so it's every single week and it's 2 hours a week. And we go over a lot of different themes to help people kind of move through whatever they're going through. And those themes look like confidence, using your voice, relationship management, so using emotional intelligence and effective communication to better the relationships within your life. We also look at a lot of self-awareness and just learning about how the brain works and making that kind of reprogram to work for you and not against you, right? And having that idea of, okay, if this is how my brain works, you know, then it's not just me, you know, and how am I going to move through that? So it's a very cool journey that this 8-week course takes you through. And the growth that you see from the beginning to the end is, it's incredible to watch in the students, and I felt myself. It's an incredible program.
The beauty of that program is that people are going through it together.
Yeah.
And so they're able to realize, I'm not the only one.
That certainly sounds like a great way to start out a new year with learning about yourself and learning how you can be successful at perhaps setting and meeting some of your goals for 2023. So thank you so much, Claire. Thank you, Jennifer, for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And can we wish you a happy new year?
Yeah. Happy new year.
Certainly. Happy new year.
Our guests this morning have been Claire McKillop and Jennifer Slay. Jennifer Slay is the owner of Jennifer Slay Counseling and Coaching, a BBB-accredited business. Check out the business on BBB Directory, and from there, visit the website and social media pages. Stay tuned. Our final sign-off is coming up. Welcome back to Ask BBB. I'm Jim Swan with Jennifer Matthews, CEO of BBB Serving Western Ontario. Well, Jennifer, we've come to the final program for Ask BBB in December 2022 and the last program in our series.
That's right, Jim. Ask BBB started in 2016 and we have produced 326 programs to date. Since March of 2020, when the pandemic hit, the programs have been produced using Zoom, which has afforded us many conveniences.
Yes, and an opportunity to talk to a lot of people who might not have been able to have time to go down to the radio studio. But the fascinating thing for me is the technology through Zoom that enabled us to talk to guests no matter where they were.
So as I travel through the region, I've sometimes had to do the program remotely. So from Windsor or from other areas around Southwestern Ontario.
I seem to recall one program where you pulled over to the side of the road and did the program. Your vehicle was a studio.
I think that was the program we did with the Salvation Army talking about the Kettle campaign last year, which is a good reminder that that's going on again this year.
Yes. And speaking of Windsor, you are spending some time in Windsor and other locations as you serve all of Western Ontario.
It is a much larger region than I think some people and businesses in London realize. And we service from Woodstock all the way to Windsor and from the Lake Erie shore up to Goderich. So it's quite a large area and it encompasses a business count of 32,000 businesses.
Yeah, and in spite of the fact that we won't be doing this program anymore, you're still going to be on the airwaves.
We still will be. We often do a check-in with Mike Stubbs on the Friday afternoons around 4:10, 4:15, and we give updates on occurring scams in the area, maybe some shopping tips, maybe some ways to just stay safe and protect yourself from fraud.
Now, let's go back to that program that where you hosted it from Windsor. But what was really intriguing is that one of our guests was remote as well, Jill Ellis Worthington.
Yeah. That's right. Jill was in Texas as she had traveled there for a while. And it's very convenient for people to just log on to Zoom, talk to us, and get this show produced under your magic for a Saturday broadcast.
One of the ones that really springs to mind for me was Barry McGonigal of Sundance Balloons. Here's where he was.
I am in Kenya, in Africa, and we started building a hot air balloon operation over here a couple of years ago, and literally I'm in the foothills of Mount Kilimanjaro. If I look out the front door of the house here, in all its majesty is Mount Kilimanjaro. It's just a short 18 kilometers line of sight straight ahead from me.
That certainly was a fantastic program, and the magic of Zoom also showed us on his screen the beauty of the space he was in.
Yes, and then we did an interview with Bettina Weber, who is the owner of Boutique Forenza, and she was in Italy.
Well, I'm very excited to say I am joining you from Naples, Italy, where I have come on a glove buying expedition to restock Boutique Forenza with lovely new gloves and other treasures for the shoppers in London.
Well, Jennifer, this is kind of the end of my broadcast career as well, that started 60 years ago at a little station in Woodstock that no longer exists, CKOX AM. So it's been great working with you and all the staff at BBB over these years, and I'm not going to sever relationships. We'll still be hanging around the office from time to time.
Well, having grown up in and around London, Jim, it's been an honor to co-host with you this past year and a half, and experience what an honor it is to work with you and learn from you in interview skills and in your community contacts. We can't thank you enough for what you've done for BBB in Western Ontario over the years.
Well, it certainly has given me a way to keep my hand in things and to play with some of this incredible technology that we've just been talking about. Thanks for the privilege, Jennifer.
You're very welcome.
And that is all the time we have for Ask BBB.
As always, you can continue to contact us through Instagram and Facebook. The office number is 519-673-3222, and we are located at 190 Wortley Road, Suite 206.
And let's just wish everybody a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.